The following is an encore episode of Hour One of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Turley Frequency with Kevin Turley, a show for you and by you. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome to the Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley, coming to you live from London. Yes, I know, it's incredible, isn't it? I'm here and you're there, but such are the wonders of modern technology that we are together this morning. So it's great to be with you. Really enjoy this time of the day just to change gears a little bit, okay? We've all been listening to LA Catholic Morning, catching up on the latest news, and it's very exciting and very interesting. This is a time maybe to take a little bit more stock of things, to look at things in a little bit of a different way. So how are you this morning? This is November 10th, year of our Lord, 2022, and it's a Thursday. So I used to like Thursdays. Thursdays are a good day. You know, you're nearly there. It's nearly Friday, certainly not Monday, nearly Friday. The weekend is within sight. Now, today is the feast of a great saint, Saint Leo the Great, who was a great pope, a great theologian, and someone not frightened to confront the secular power. Let's not forget, this was the saint who went out to meet Attila the Hun and his hordes and basically told them to get lost. He didn't go to accompany Attila on his inverted commas faith journey. He said, no, you're not coming in. Off you go. And guess what? Attila did. He cleared off with his massed armies. So depending on who you read, Attila was very impressed with Leo. Interesting. Impressed with what, one wonders. No doubt impressed by his bravery, because this was a man who came dressed as a pontiff, not as a warlord. But also somebody who obviously spoke the truth to power. Well, there's a lot of talk about that these days, but I don't see an awful lot of evidence of it. But this is a man who literally came out and told Attila the Hun what's what, and more importantly, where to go. And he did. Obviously, they were different days than the days we have today. But that got me thinking today, because later this morning, we've got Scott Carter coming on the program to talk about the cause of Father Emile Capon. And that's a very apt discussion in the morning for two reasons. The first is about saints. Now, you know, one of the strap lines of this station is about helping people to become saints, to making saints. And we're all called to sanctity. Every single baptized Catholic is called to be another Christ, which means to be holy, which means to be a saint. Now, most of us are probably on the way. Some of us further down the track than others, and some of us still lagging at the starting post, but never mind, we're all on the way. But it got me thinking, and I have a question for you this morning. And the question is this: who is your favorite saint or saints? Because I don't believe, well, I find it very difficult to have one saint friend. I have lots of saint friends. But it got me wondering, tough question, but I throw it out there. Who is your favorite saint and why? So let's have a little bit of audience research here. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am here. And I take it you're going to ask me my favorite saint.
You're a mind reader, I can tell.
Yeah, you know, that extra ability. There's a saint for mind readers, sure. Anyway, I'm going to go with Saint Genesius. Saint Genesius being an actor myself, voice actor. Saint Genesius is the patron saint for actors.
Yes.
And he was an atheist, and he was doing a play making fun of baptism. And he had the conversion right there on stage. And the emperor, I forgot the name of the emperor. The emperor. I forgot the emperor's name, but anyway, Saint Genesius, you know, was performing this. Who's my favorite saint? He was performing this play, and he had this conversion on stage, and the emperor Diocletian, I think it was, had him killed. And so, yeah, I think it was around 400 BC, and thus he was the patron saint for actors and a big saint for those who want to have for actors who, you know, go through a conversion, who are performing God's word on stage, making the word of God come alive, which, you know, even if you're not an actor, that's what we're called to do, right? Make God's word come alive in our everyday actions.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that. I knew nothing about St. Genesius until I moved to London. And there is a church in the Covent Garden area of London called Corpus Christi. And it's been there for centuries. And it's a Catholic church. And it has this tiny little statue of a Roman martyr. And I remember asking, I think it might be in the parish priest or a friend or something, who's that, you know? And they said, oh, that's St. Genesius. Because that part of London is theatre land. Mm-hmm. And his little statue was there because that was the place where the Catholic Actors Guild used to meet. And they had a great devotion to St. Genesius, so I learned all about him. And like you, Mac, I was very impressed with this idea that his portrayal on stage, which I believe was to be mocking, turned into an affirmation of faith.
It was.
But what you probably also know is that it just so happened that Genesius was the favorite actor of the emperor.
He wasn't
just any old actor. He was like the Brad Pitt of his day or something. He was the star, and he had converted to this obnoxious sect known as Christians, and the emperor wasn't having it.
Right.
So that was the end of old Genesius. But you've got me thinking about another subject which I love, which is you have to be very careful about what you pray for on screen.
Yes.
Because you probably know there are some very famous conversions that have come about, which I would suggest the Genesis was what the prayers that were uttered on stage. But let's not go down that rabbit hole just this morning, because I do want people to think about their favorite saint. You can call in at any time, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111. I will be very, very glad to hear from anyone on this subject.
Hey, Kevin, do you mind if I include a short little story? This is from Matthew Kelly's book about, I think it was in, about Catholicism. And it was about the king. He invited this in lieu of having a band perform for a big festival for the country. He invited this actor, the Shakespearean actor, and you know, he's performing all these sonnets and whatnot. And he decides, all right, I'm going to take requests. And so one of the audience members said, yeah, I'd like you to perform Psalm 23:1. And so he says, okay, I tell you what, I'll perform Psalm 23:1. If right after that, and it was a priest that had asked him to perform this or recite this. So I'll recite this so long as after I recite it, you get up and recite it. So the actor recites it. Wonderful. Big, huge applause. The priest, it's his turn to get up and recite it. And he recites it. And there's not a dry eye in the house. They're speechless. They cannot believe what they just heard and saw. And the actor gets back up on stage and he says, do you know what the difference was between the way this priest performed, you know, did this this psalm? The difference is the priest knew the shepherd. The priest knows the shepherd. That's why you're crying. That's why you're affected. Because he knows the shepherd, and that's what we're called to do, to know the shepherd.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Wonderful.
So, Anyway, just want to share that. It's not as lovely and beautiful as the stories you tell, but
I wanted to get that out
because it's a story that it's a short little, you know, anecdotal literature that really spoke to me when I read Matthew Kelly's book. So
absolutely. So, what's your favorite saint and why? Now, I don't know about you, but I have saints for certain occasions. Or certain situations, I should say. Now, is there anyone else out there who has St. Anthony of Padua on speed dial when you lose something or when somebody else loses something and they're rattling around the house trying to find it and you're saying, come on, St. Anthony, help out here. And I have to say that St. Anthony has found the most amazing things. I mean, most Catholic churches in this country, I'm sure it's the same in the States, have a little statue of St. Anthony somewhere. And I am forever feeling guilty because I should be lighting an array of candles every day in thanksgiving to his intercession, to the finding of the most obscure things. St. Anthony of Padua is a magician when it comes to finding things, and I love him all for that. So St. Anthony of Padua would be one of my favorites, but then there's other saints. There's saints that I admire, St. Thomas More, for example. There's saints that I really have gotten to know in the last few years and have helped me out greatly. For example, the recently canonized St. John Henry Newman. And I'll talk a little bit more about him maybe later. But I'm wondering about saints and us. What is it about a certain saint that attracts us? Is it because we're named after them sometimes? Is it because we've read their lives and there's something in their lives which resonates with ours? Though saying that, most saints' lives, we've just been hearing out Maximilian Kolbe during LA Catholic morning, and most of us are not going to have the sort of extremes that his life went through. So what is it about saints that attracts us? And I'd like to ask a supplementary question, which is this, because remember, saints are part of God's mysterious providence. Public saints, that is. We're all called to be saints. But those that become canonized saints by the church are part of God's plan. And I remember I interviewed a woman who had had a miracle. It was a documented miracle. It went to Rome and all the rest. And I remember saying to her, why did you choose that saint for that desperate situation? And it was the very last question of a very long interview. And it was one of those questions, you know, when you're just on the door handle, you're just about to leave and you turn around and say, by the way, a bit like Columbo, you know, one last thing. And I said, why did you choose that saint? Because I'd realized I hadn't asked it. And I remember she looked at me and said, Kevin, I didn't choose him. So do saints choose us? This is the other thing. Is there some mysterious way in which heaven intervenes into our lives and brings us heavenly help through heavenly friends? Call me, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111. Now, we're talking about saints today, and we're just about to talk to Scott Carter later this morning about Father Emil Capon, who is on the way to sainthood, we hope, the way to being canonized. And it's absolutely appropriate that we should be talking about Father Capon on this day, because at this time of year, as you know, if you've been listening this week, we are very much remembering the dead, the faithful departed. We remember them in our prayers and in our thoughts, particularly in November. We visit graveyards, we pray for people, we have masses said for them, etc. But this is also a particular time of year when nations remember their fallen dead, those that served their countries in the cause of freedom and died as a result. But we also remember those veterans who live on amongst us, some maimed by their service. And it's a time to give thanks to those brave men and women who have served their country. So if you're a veteran listening to this show this morning, I'd love to hear from you. 888-928-0881. Where did you serve? How did you serve? Which branch of the armed services were you in? And any thoughts or reflections on your time of service, whether it be or whether it has been in a time of peace, or whether it was during a time of war. We would love to hear from you this morning. Now, if you don't remember, or sorry, I don't know if you remember yesterday, we had a call from Michelle in Fairhope. And Michelle in Fairhope, if you're listening, you phoned up and we had a very interesting chat about hush puppies. But you also asked me about spotted dick. And I'm afraid, Michelle, that I misled you. Yes. I didn't intentionally do so, but I realized later that I had. I was getting spotted dick confused with another British dish. Spotted dick is a kind of pudding, a dessert. It's a kind of cake type thing. And the reason it's called spotted is because it has raisins all over it. It goes by a slightly different name in Ireland, and that's what confused me probably. It's often known as the railway cake, or a certain type of bread is often referred to in a similar way. So that's what a spotted dick was. It's a kind of cake, moist cake, which is full of raisins, and very nice for the cup of tea, I can assure you of that. So, let's see if anything's coming through here. So what's your favorite saint? Anybody have an idea as to what your favorite saint is? I mean, I could talk about saints all day. I find them absolutely fascinating. The thing I love about saints is that they all come from such a variety of backgrounds. We have people like Leo the Great, who are wonderful statesmen and holy pontiffs who are leading the church, great shepherds of the church. But we also have the children of Fatima, who just about, did they make their Holy Communion? I'm not sure, actually. They were so young. We have St. Bernadette, who could barely read and write. And yet we've got John Henry Newman, who had a brilliant mind. Absolutely brilliant, a great philosophical mind, a great literary mind, one of the greatest writers in the English language. And don't take my word for that, no less than James Joyce said that he was one of the greatest stylists in English prose. So we have saints who come from almost every country in the world, and the United States has produced its fair share of saints of all different backgrounds, people who converted to the faith, people who arrived as immigrants, and even people who were indigenous and lived in the United States and came to the truth of the Catholic faith. It's quite remarkable. Somebody once said that the saints were the Gospels kind of incarnated, that each saint's life showed an aspect of the Gospels, and that's why they're so fascinating to us. It's almost like a diamond shape with a certain glint as the sun hits it, and it accentuates an aspect of God's wonderful love and mercy to us. So, today we're focusing on saints, and we're thinking about who your favorite saint is. Do feel free to give us a call at any time, and or text in. Just text in a saint's name. Love to know who are the popular saints throughout the Archdiocese of Mobile. For example, Mike, I don't know, who is the patron saint of Mobile?
So they can text in or call in the saints. The number is 251, the text number is 251-928-2111. Again, that's 251-928-2111. Please text in your favorite saint, or you can give us a call, 1-888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881.
Great. So, we are now going to go for a short break, and when we come back, we've got Scott Carter, who's going to be speaking to us about Father Emil Capon. And just to say, after that, at the top of the hour, we'll be doing the chaplet as usual. Do feel free to get your prayer requests in for that, and certainly any of your faithful departed, we'll add them to our November dead list. And then story time today, well, it's got to be Father Emil Capon, right? We're going to have a little meditation reflection on his very, very interesting, and some would say very exciting lifestyle, but also his great witness in the face of totalitarianism as a military chaplain. And that's coming up in the final segment. But coming up next, we've got Scott Carter, who's going to be talking to us about where Father Capon is in the process of becoming a saint. And if you have a devotion to Father Capon, you can call in on the numbers that Mike just said or text in any questions for Scott, and we will do our best to get them or you on air to talk to him. Okay, we'll be back shortly after these words.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley. And we are focusing on two things today, sainthood and the making of saints, and also those who have served in the military, which is a perfect match for our next guest, Scott Carter. Scott, welcome to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning.
Scott, I said it's a perfect combination for you because you were involved in promoting the cause of Father Emile Capon. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Father Emile. Just give us the thumbnail sketch for anybody. I'm sure most listeners know something of his life, but just give us the basics.
Sure, sure. So he was kind of a Kansas farm kid, real small farming community, primarily Czech, in the middle of the state, and grew up. I was born in 1916 and eventually became a priest for the Diocese of Wichita. And during World War II and then beyond then, really felt a calling to the military services, specifically the Army. And so he was allowed to become a chaplain and did serve a little bit of World War II, but primarily is known for his actions both on the battlefields of Korea and also in the prison camps there, where he eventually died, giving his life for his men. And years later, in 2013, was awarded the Medal of Honor, which is the highest award that anyone can receive for bravery on the battlefield. One of five chaplains since the Civil War to do that.
That's a wonderful thumbnail sketch, Scott. And just to tell the audience, I will be talking more in depth about Father Capone in the final segment of this show. But the one thing that intrigued me about Father Capone, and maybe you can answer this, Scott, is that he did serve in the Second World War. And then he came back to civilian life, if you like. And I remember reading a quote from him, which said that he didn't feel like he fitted in anymore there. And he was very happy to get back to serving in the armed forces. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think two things. I mean, I think he, all the people that he served said he was great, you know, so it wasn't necessarily a problem there. But I think he really loved the camaraderie and the challenge of the military. And also just recognize the need, especially at the time after World War II, you know, the Air Force became its own department and a lot of the chaplains went to serve the Air Force. And so the Army said, hey, we need chaplains too. And, you know, just said, I really love the challenge of being out there with the men. And, you know, if they don't have a priest, it's a lot harder for them to keep the faith than, you know, someone who's kind of in a normal home life community. So, yeah, he wanted to provide that for them.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm assuming you get a lot of contact from today's military chaplains who are inspired by the life of Father Emile.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, tell us
absolutely.
A little bit.
It's interesting, and I mean, not just Catholic either. Obviously, in the military, you have to serve all faiths, but it's kind of inspiring to hear other denominations, chaplains too, say, hey, yeah, we learn about him in our training to become a chaplain as an Army chaplain, and we're inspired by his example, by his love, all these sort of things. And so it's really cool to witness.
If you want to speak to Scott about any aspect of Father Emile's life, you can call in on 888-928-0881 or text us on 251-928-2111. So, Scott, tell me a little bit about where the process is with Father Emile at the moment. I mean, where are we up to?
Sure. So there's kind of four stages. It's a bit of a, you know, lengthy process. Servant of God, venerable, blessed, and then saint. So So we're still at Servant of God, which is the first stage, but we've kind of done our part with all of the information that we have to collect about his life, anyone who knew him, anything he wrote, all that sort of stuff, and sent it to the now called the Dicastery for Saints. And so we're kind of waiting for them. It goes through different committees and stuff. It originally had gone through some of the committees before, and they had asked some questions and had to reformulate, and we had, you know, COVID, and then our postulator retired, so we had to get a new postulator. So, you know, it's taken a little longer than we thought it might. But yeah, we think we've got a strong case of, it's called the offer of life, that he willingly gave his life for others in the camp. It's similar to martyrdom, but you don't necessarily have to prove that he was killed in hatred for that. So if that gets passed, you know, it's kind of like we say, well, we all think he's in heaven, but then, you know, at that point is when we look for the supernatural evidence as well. And so after he's named venerable is when they start reviewing potential miracles. And you need one to get to blessed, and then you have to start all over and get a new one to get you to
heaven. That's right. That's right. But I believe in this. Who is, I think the term is the actor in the process, you know, the person who is proposing the cause and helping formulate the cause. Is it a diocese, or is it the military, is it a group of faithful?
Sure. So the Archdiocese for the Military Services are the ones who began the cause in 1993. But they kind of ran out of personnel and funding at the time to continue to promote it. And so the Diocese of Wichita picked it up, the 2000s. And we had a bunch of, kind of a groundswell, I think, from our people, as well as, you know, people far and wide who really were, you know, for it. It wasn't just like the diocese pushing it. It wasn't just our priests. I mean, it was really all sorts of people. And then with his Medal of Honor in 2013, and then last year, we were blessed to finally have his remains come home. They were missing for over 70 years. And so just to see the outpouring of love and respect and people coming to honor him, and, you know, in the news and all over the country, to see that, I think, is a good affirmation that the Holy Spirit really is using his life to continue to inspire people, but also hopefully, you know, to intercede for them in ways from, you know, simply helping them have faith and hope and peace in the midst of struggles to sometimes some pretty miraculous, seemingly miraculous events.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that they had found his remains. Was that relatively recently?
Yeah, so last year, the government tries to, you know, identify and bring home the remains from any soldier, airman, sailor that's passed away, and some of those are obviously impossible, but they go to the battlefields and stuff, but they actually have, from like the Korean War, over 800 remains that were buried in Hawaii at the cemetery there, that after the war, they couldn't identify everybody, and so they buried them there. And they've been working on a process to be able to identify the DNA from these men and, eventually, hopefully get most of them home. And he was one of those men who was there, thankfully.
Wow. That's
so
incredible.
We took him from Hawaii back to Wichita.
that's incredible. But God has his own time with these things, don't you think?
That's right.
You know, that the fact that
absolutely.
Had been missing in action for years and then suddenly he's come home just as his cause is taking off, no?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, it must be, I mean, I know some people this side of the Atlantic who are involved in various saints' causes similar to you, and one of them is the military chaplain, the Irish military chaplain, Father Willie Doyle. I don't know if you've heard of him. Have you, Scott?
Sure, absolutely, from World War I, right?
Yes, absolutely. So they're just, I mean, his cause has literally just, or is being opened, it'll be formally opened on the 20th of this month in Ireland. But it's very similar sort of story in a sense, because the one thing that he shares with Father Emile is that absolute identification with the men he served, you know, and his love for them as a pastor and his willingness to sacrifice himself for them, which is very similar to Father Emile. I mean, do you have much involvement with the armed services, especially in the United States, where people, servicemen and women, have a devotion to Father Emile?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, what I love about it is that it runs a range. You know, there's lay people here who love him, find inspiration for their daily life, you know, and their service to others. And then the military, obviously, is a big proponent, too, because, you know, here's someone who loves both God and tries to serve their country and their fellow men. And, you know, when you talk about, like, being there through thick and thin with all of the men and women now, too, but, you know, back when he served, it was primarily men. Pope Francis's line from early on in his time, he said, you know, priests are called to smell like the sheep. Pastors are supposed to smell like
the
sheep.
Well, he was
out there on the battlefields, and then, you know, the prison camps. I mean,
absolutely,
he looked just like everybody else, all ragged and smelly and gross. And but, you know, he was there praying with the men. He was serving their needs, and so I think, for our military men and women, it is a huge inspiration. It's someone who understands both the horrors of war, but also just like the day in and day out life of the military and the challenges that come with it. And I think he's definitely close and loves to intercede, loves to be with them as well. I actually just got back from doing a few talks out in Virginia at a few bases, which was a great opportunity to continue to build up those relationships and hopefully, you know, support those who are willing to give their lives for us.
Is he somebody who is still, would you say the vast majority of American servicemen and women are still getting to know, that they're maybe surprised to hear the story of this exemplary military chaplain?
Yeah, I do kind of get that. And I think it sometimes surprises me, but I think there's just so many changes and so many, you know, variables. There's some chaplains who love sharing a story, but, you know, they reach a certain set of people and then things change. And so I think it's an ongoing challenge to continue to, you know, best serve and support our military personnel. And so it doesn't matter if they're religious or not, are soon to be touched by the story, you know, moved like at what he did to rescue men on the battlefield, to pray with them, to risk his life, you know, when he's not even carrying a weapon. And then especially in the prison camp, just how he would do all sorts of little things to give the men hope. And so
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Do you find, Scott, because you know that you're speaking to servicemen and women and they kind of get it, I guess military chaplains will immediately get it. But I mean, we'd be naive to think that there aren't segments of society, especially American society, that may be maybe not comfortable with the thought of Father Emile as a military chaplain, especially serving in Korea. Do you ever get any kind of negativity or pushback?
You know, honestly, there's not a whole lot, at least not a lot of vocal. I think most everybody understands, you know, at least here on the ground, when you read a story, when you hear a story, like he was there because he was a priest. He was a Catholic priest who wanted to bring the sacraments. He wanted to bring God to the men. And it was a tough situation. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, he was pretty, I think he understood their role in the war. He hated to see the destruction. So it's not like he was glorifying the war itself, but I mean, he understood like, okay, they were trying to protect the people of South Korea. You know, so I do think maybe sometimes in the church that there is a little bit of hesitancy because like, oh, okay, is this gonna, you know, promote something that's bad? And I think once you get to know his story, his life, it's hard to continue thinking that. But hopefully those misconceptions can be, you know, can be healed.
I mean, like Father Willie Doyle, I mean, Father Emile Capon, it's very easy to see how lovable he was, you know, and one can really get the sense that the men he served with really, really could take to this man because he loved them, right? I mean, and he served them and he was there as a spiritual father. He had no other objective other than to be with them at this darkest hour. We're coming up to a break, Scott. Can you stay on for the next segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so listen, if anybody's got any questions out there on maybe not so much Father Emile, though you'd be very welcome to ask questions about the life of Father Emile, but also about the process, about how people become saints. Because that's the other thing which I'm going to ask Scott about in the next segment, about how does this process work? How do you move from just being one of the faithful to suddenly being a servant of God, venerable servant of God, and then what Father Emile is today, which is blessed. So you can call in on 1-888-928-0881, or you can text a question through if you haven't got time to call in on 251-928-2111. And we'll be back right after these words.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. This morning we're discussing saints, and in particular saints who have served in the military. And who better to talk to than Scott Carter, who's involved in the cause of Father Emile Capon, who's led a heroic life, but also is now a hero of sanctity. Scott, you're involved in the process of, if you like, advancing the cause of Father Emile, turning him into a first-class saint. I mean, he's a blessed, and that's great, but into a saint. Can you just for the audience, can you just explain the process? How does that, I know you talked about needing a miracle, but a miracle, how do you find them and how do you document them? How do you authenticate them and what's the process?
Sure. So yeah, well, and actually we're still servant of God, so we've got a little bit of a ways to go. But like I said, there's kind of, you know, the first part before anything else is obviously people have to recognize, kind of your sanctity and have a desire to emulate you as, you know, you emulated Christ, and pray, you know, for your intercession. And so then that really has to be there before, you know, anybody's going to pursue, anything farther. But, you know, the first part's kind of like the, again, it's almost like a term paper. You got to do all the research and everything into their life and present the cause of why you think they're in heaven. The second part's the miracle. And in a lot of ways, it's similar. The investigation that goes on. I mean, the Dicastery for Saints will actually take the information. Sorry, I guess I should back up. You asked, how do you get them? Well, really, you know, our job, that they told us, and a lot of what I do is trying to share the message and encourage prayer. They said, if he's going to become a saint, it's because people know about him. People want to emulate him, and people are praying both for his cause, but also for his help. And, so that's really kind of our mission. And then, you know, we have prayer cards and stuff with our information on the back. And if anybody's listening, you know, we've got them at our website. It's Father Capon, KAPAUN.org. And we're happy to send them out. Just, you know, shoot us an email. But it's, you know, people will sometimes contact us or they'll have a friend say, hey, you need to talk to so-and-so. They have this pretty miraculous thing, you know, and we kind of do an initial investigation. And I'm not super great on the medical world, but, you know, there's enough to kind of recognize, like, okay, it seems like there's a medical intervention here that maybe could explain for this, you know, recovery. Say, well, we believe that Father was interceding for you because, you know, you were praying and you felt his peace. You felt like things moved at the right time, you know, but maybe that's not quite something that the Dicastery for Saints would say, yeah, we think that's a clear and cut miracle. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, like, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing, right? That's how God works a lot of the time.
that's right, because anybody who's involved in these type of things has said to me, I'm sure they've said to you as well, Scott, that these miracles have to be almost beyond reasonable doubt, haven't they? I mean, if this was a criminal court, it would have to be, you have to be caught with a smoking gun in your hand, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So, I mean, again, the church doesn't say like, well, the saint wasn't intervening in your life there. I mean, that's just how it works most of the time. But there are some, and we've probably got, I don't know, I mean, it's hard to say for sure, but 5 or 6 or 7 that were like, to our perspective, and to those who have kind of done some work on it, it's hard to explain, you know, what went on other than purely supernatural means. And a lot of the time, what they look for is, a lot of the time they'll look for healing. And that's not the only miracle, but they're kind of the easiest to prove. And so, you know, there's some evidence where they have some diagnosis of something that's wrong. And then, so that's clear, clear evidence that there is prayer to this, in our case, servant of God, but whoever it is. So clear evidence that they're praying to them and not just kind of like trying to hit everybody, you know. And then, you know, clear evidence that something happened. And the easiest way to prove that is if it happens, like, quickly and completely. So, like, overnight, you know. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it can take some time, but, I mean, those are kind of the easier ones to prove.
Absolutely.
It's kind of an instantaneous thing.
If anybody is listening to the show and has a devotion to Father Emile, do feel free to call in. And if you're praying to Father Emile or asking for his intercession for anything in particular, I'm sure Scott would love to hear from you on 888-928-0881 or text us on 251-928-2111. Apologies, Scott. Did I just raise Father Emile to beatification when he's a servant of God? Where is he in the process?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it if you could do that for
him. I don't think Archangel Radio has the imprimatur to do that, but he's a servant of God. Is that where Father Emile
Correct.
Is at the moment?
Yeah. Correct.
So
and
the next stage,
then,
so
you know,
just take us through the stages. You have venerable first, isn't that right?
Servant of God, then venerable.
Yep. Oh, then venerable,
blessed.
Right?
Yeah, and then finally saint. So we're hoping that, he'll be named venerable sometime, in the near future. But that could take a year, it could take a couple years, who knows. maybe longer, but
it can take a long time. Yeah, I mean, what, without breaking any confidences, can you give us any? I mean, are you at liberty to give us some examples of his great intercessory power?
Yeah, so I think I've got a couple. One of them is really fascinating. We're talking about military. There was a chaplain. I got an email from him. He was Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and said he was serving in Iraq in. I think Fallujah, or maybe somewhere else, but 2006, 2007 said he was really struggling to feel like he could complete his mission and just kind of was feeling overwhelmed, I think. And he was praying to God, obviously, and he said at night this man appeared to him in an all-white suit, like head to toe, belt, trousers, shoes included, and said, trust in God, trust in your army's training, and you'll be just fine. And he said he woke up the next morning and just had this peace about him the rest of the time he was there, and he was able to go about his duty. He said it wasn't until, like, 2019, so this was 2006 mm-hmm. to 2019, that he was doing some research on the Battle of Unsan in the Korean War, which is where Father Capon was awarded the Medal of Honor. And he said, I saw his picture, and it wasn't until then that I realized who appeared to me.
Wow.
And I was just... It was fascinating, right?
Wow. Well, tell me this, because we've been discussing, Scott, the whole notion of saints and having one's favorite saints that we were discussing about who's your favorite saint. And I remember I was very lucky to interview somebody who was involved in the cause of a saint, and she was the recipient of a miracle. And I was interviewing her for a press interview, and I remember the last thing I said to her as I was leaving, and it was, the last question that comes to you as you're leaving the room. I said, by the way, why did you choose Saint? And she said, I didn't choose him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, how come you've ended up being so close to Father Emile?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. That is a good question. I wonder that. I first heard about him when I was in high school, a senior in high school, a Christian vocations class, and we had a priest who had been in the military and had actually gone to our rival high school here in Wichita, which was Capon Mount Carmel High School. And I was, we call it Capon, but he had went there, and we didn't like him because they were our rivals. But he said, hey, there's mm-hmm. a priest you all need to know about. And it turns out he gave us a Shepherd in Combat Boots, which is one of the books about him. And I read it, and I was totally moved. Fast forward, I spent some time in seminary and got to know him better. I was kind of in the right place in the right time for this position, and had a couple of people I know, put in a good word for me. And I'm really amazed. I think I love... he was a very simple man, but very kind, outgoing, it's been a privilege, really, truly, to get to know him and to be able to share him a little bit with others, and I pray I do that well. But I think for me, like, the most amazing thing is getting to be kind of along for the ride, because when I share about him, you know, he did the hard work. I'm just sharing his story, but I get to see the work that the Holy Spirit is doing through him and touching other people, you know, inspiring other people, people asking for prayer cards, people asking for prayers, people saying, hey, we want to share this with our students. We want to share this with so-and-so, all this sort of stuff. And then you get to see, you know, maybe some of the more potentially miraculous things as well. I mean, I think that's just so amazing. And we hear so much bad stuff on the news. For me, like, this is so much hope that the Lord continues to work. Even if things don't get better here, like, that's not what, even Father's life, you know, he was in the prison camp. He died, you know, after 7 months there. You know, from an earthly perspective, everything that he did there didn't really matter that much. I mean, you could make that argument, but like, from our perspective as Christians, it mattered a ton, right? And God was with them in the camp, and that's what he was there to remind them at. And so I think just to have that hope for all of us, well, you know, we definitely need need it in today's world. So yeah.
Well, can I let you into a little bit of a secret, Scott, which sure. I don't think I've ever said on air anywhere, but last year or whatever, I co-published a novel with a friend of mine, and it's published by Ignatius Press. It's called This Thing of Darkness. And one of the central characters is in the Korean War. Huh. And I very much used, I didn't name him, but Father Emil is a kind of, certainly an influence to the heroic death of one of the characters. So, and I was very conscious when I was writing this that read Father Emil's story and was very conscious. He was my only kind of link with the Korean War. So, so he's even sort of influenced me and influenced indirectly a piece of fiction. So but anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah, but listen, I love the idea of you accompanying Father Emil and accompanying this journey into public sanctity, finding his intercessory powers. I mean, is he your go-to saint? Inverted commas saint?
So, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we have an 18-month-old, and we were like, well, do we want to be that person, you know, who names their child after him, you know, I do the work. We're like, absolutely. Like he's a good intercessor. And, you know, we found actually from many stories of other people struggling to conceive or people having a difficult pregnancy as well. But we have a little girl named Amelia who's named after him. It helps too. My wife, her birthday is May 23rd, which is the day that Father died. So, you know, future feast day. So she's kind of, she's got a devotion to him too. But
no such thing as a coincidence, Scott.
No, I know, right? So yeah, he's a big devotion to our family. I mean, obviously, you know, we have other saints that have found us too, but he's always a constant.
Have you met people, I mean, have you met members of his extended family?
Yeah, so we have a good relationship. He had one brother, and you know, I think that's a big thing too when it comes to the cause. But he had one brother, and his brother had, I think, six kids. And so we've got a good relationship with the family and worked with them. And, you know, with his remains coming to Wichita, they're here at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception now. And, you know, that was a decision that was made in conjunction with the family because the Army returns the remains to the family. So
that's right.
We're so grateful that they were willing to bring him back to the diocese so that people can come and visit and pray. And it's remarkable too. I mean, I've had the privilege of meeting three or four of the prisoners of war who served with him, which was not, there's only a handful left now, but it's just incredible to hear their stories firsthand and realize like, okay, you're sitting across from the person whose life he touched. You know, they say like we probably wouldn't have made it out if it wasn't for both what he did for us physically, but also especially, you know, spiritually, and giving us the will to fight. And I mean, it's just, yeah, it's humbling. It's remarkable. All of them say he's the greatest man they ever knew.
Really?
Are
some of those non-Catholics?
Oh yeah. There's tons of, pretty much any denomination you could think of, Jewish men, all sorts.
That's really remarkable. Did you get a shiver down the spine when you were talking to them?
Yeah, it was pretty, it's so hard to comprehend really what they suffered. But yeah, definitely goosebumps and shivers. Yeah. And it's sometimes I mean, those are still some of the most powerful stories for me, just because you hear it firsthand and you realize like how much it meant. I mean, it's a little, books are great and you can read them in books, but when you get to like, you're sitting across from one of them in their living room and they're 89 years old and they're telling you that he gave, you know, gave me a cup of water and I hadn't had water to drink in 2 months, because I was eating snow. The North Koreans never gave us anything.
I mean, have you managed to retrieve much of, in terms of relics and things? Because I know he had a missile in the prison camp and various other, like he had his purple stole and stuff. Has any of that been recovered?
So a lot of the stuff we have, you know, predates the Korean War, but there are a few things. There's a pyx that he used on the battlefield, to celebrate, you know, celebrate mass, bring the Eucharist to others. The men in the prison camp literally like threatened to, there were a couple of them that threatened to not go home if they didn't get to bring that with them. I mean, like they, I just, again, blows my mind, like a pyx. it meant so much to them that they were willing to not leave. There's a little piece of his helmet that has the cross painted on it. The guy knew he couldn't bring the whole helmet out, but he was able to break off the little piece that had the cross. There's the missile that he prayed at the famous Easter service. There's a stole, and then he didn't, you know, it wasn't part of him, but in his honor, again, there's a Jewish prisoner who carved a crucifix in his honor. It's about 4 feet tall. And it's on display at the high school that's named for him here in Wichita. And it's pretty incredible. The men, you know, carried that out when they left the camp. It's pretty powerful.
It's so good of you to take some time, Scott, to tell us about a wonderful servant of God, a wonderful example to especially young men today in his service and his selflessness. How can people find out more about Father Emil?
Yeah, so the best way is our website, fathercapaun.org. It's K-A-P-A-U-N. We've also got social media and stuff. I think you can link there at the bottom, but there's more information there. And if they need, send us an email, give us a call, and we'll be happy to be in touch.
All right. That's great. Scott, thank you very much, and may Father Emil pray for all of us.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to be praying together, and we will ask for Father Emil to pray with us. We're going to be praying the Divine Chaplet when we come back. And you can still call in on 888-928-0881 or text us on 251-928-2111. Any requests for prayers during the Divine Chaplet. Okay, back after these words.